welcome to the second episode of Third and Outside. I am your host, Wes, joined as always for the second week in a row live, my co-host, Eric.
Good day.
Good day. Hey, he said good day today. Woohoo! Excuse me. We'll talk about live radio. We are here. We talk sports in the sports bar style format. So basically, if you've got something you want to blow off your chest, this is what you would do it with your buddies watching some sports, and that's what we're doing. We're going to talk to it in this way. So that's for those listening in for the first time. Those who listen to our first show, thank you very much. We blew out the hosting bandwidth in one day. Wonderful, wonderful turnout. Mostly friends and family, but still, I had to find a new host. That's always good. All right, with that being said, Eric, I know you're going to make fun of me because I am a Buckeye fan, but we're going to talk about Terrell Pryor and those suspensions. So here's the rundown.
Poor guy.
Poor guy, poor me. Terrell Pryor, along with four other people, let's see, Junior Daniel Heron, wide receiver Junior Davier Posey, offensive lineman Mike Adams, and defensive end Solomon Thomas must sit out the first five games of 2011 for receiving benefits and selling merchandise, and must repay between $1,000 to $2,500. But they can still play in the Sugar Bowl here. Oh boy. What is your thought? I'll let you go first.
Well, my first thought is I don't like that NCAA criminalizes, so to speak, these players. They're college kids, and they're trying to make some money. And by doing that, they're selling merchandise. Lots of college kids have side jobs. You know, I worked at a pizza restaurant. I didn't play sports. And I also didn't have a full scholarship and get free room and board. But I don't know. It seems like they put a stigma on the kids that may last for a while. And, you know, I don't think that's right.
Well, I'm kind of ticked off that they... man, my throat today. I'm kind of ticked off that Pryor basically screwed the Ohio State fan base because he's not coming back now. He's got to sit out first five games of the season. I don't know the exact reason why he did it. I don't know if he did it because he needed the family to help with at home. I don't know if the other players did this because of that, or they were just being greedy. I know there's a tattoo parlor involved somewhere. I'm not happy that they did this.
Yeah, if they knew the rules that they weren't supposed to do it, they shouldn't have done it, just plain and simple.
But that's the claim from the players and the university, that they did not know that they were selling off their merchandise, their personal items, which they sold off. Somebody sold off, two of them sold off their 2008 Big Ten title championship rings. So they sold those off. And they also, Terrell Pryor sold off those little gold pants that you get for the Ohio State-Michigan game, the Buckeyes get for winning.
Yeah.
That in itself is travesty. The man should be dragged into the street and shot. You don't get rid of those. Because there's fans who would kill to be wearing those.
Well, maybe he got a tattoo of it. That's why he got rid of them.
Possibly. That may have been what he traded in here for. Here, I'll give you this if you'll tattoo that right there.
Permanent.
There you go. But in the same note, I agree with you. I can see them why they wanted to do it. Because of the fact, we don't know the entire situation. We'll probably never know the entire situation. They might have needed money, or we might, you know, or like I said, if they needed the money to pay help for family stuff and they were selling personal items, stuff they owned, I'm sorry, they own the championship ring, they own the pants, they get to keep some of the jerseys and stuff and all this other stuff. Just next time, give it to your parents and let the parents sell it.
That's a great idea. Yeah.
It's not illegal for the parents to sell it. It is for you. If your family needs the money, say, here, Mom, here's my championship ring. Do something with it. Say, here's a gift. I don't care what you do with it. And then the NCAA can't touch you. But my whole thing is the NCAA makes all this money off these players. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. They're making hand over fist with these guys, you know, especially guys like Pryor that draw so much attention, and the Buckeyes already have a huge fan base, and it's just a big money-making event for the NCAA.
Yeah.
So
then
that's what bothers me is they demonize these guys for doing that when, you know, the NCAA is making so much money. Maybe they could just give them a slap on the wrist or one game or something. I don't know. I don't know all the details of it either, so.
Yeah, well, my whole thing is they should be cutting them a check. Something. $200 a month, $300, something. Give these kids some money for you just using their name. Their name. They own their name. And here's the colleges and the universities and the NCAA making buku's money, sitting in mansions, you know, probably lighting their dang cigars with $100 bills.
Yeah.
And these kids are getting nothing. Their families are still struggling. You know, granted, yes, everyone... Okay, I know you're going to come at us and say, oh, they get a free education, they get room and board, they get food. Trust me, I was offered a scholarship. Yes. I almost got a free education. Yes. I would have gotten free board and food. But have you seen the food cafeterias that they offered in their scholarship? I did. It ain't great.
Mush.
Pretty much.
Something else that crossed my mind was the NCAA's argument could be they're preparing them for their future in the NFL, which they will be making millions of dollars. So, you know, part of the process is, you know, putting your time in college football and then moving on. So the NCAA may look at it that way.
That's a comment coming from people who are afraid to lose some money.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he suspended 5 games. Is it justified? Underneath the rules, yes, he is justified. There are some people saying they should set out the bowl game, but again, here goes to prove that college football is nothing but a money pit. They'll lose money if Pryor, Heron, and Posey sit out. So, not happening, people. Sorry. Anything else you want to add before we move on?
Seems typical of the Buckeyes to pull something like this.
Oh!
You know, it's an Ohio thing.
Oh, and here comes the jabs at the Buckeye.
No, I had to get a little bit of that in.
Yeah, and you know what? We still may have... Technically, we didn't cheat in any of the games. The only thing we violated was getting money, so guess what?
The players are still good.
Your players are still good. Just remember that. We know how to recruit.
Yeah, and especially the coach. Tressel's the man.
Tressel? Oh, yeah, he's already got Pryor replaced. He's like, okay, Pryor's gone. This guy's our number one now. All right, moving right along now. We're going to move to some NFL talk. Carolina has locked up the number one overall draft pick this year, with Cincinnati and Denver both winning this past weekend. Carolina, really bad team. John Fox is out. I'm going to say they try to get Jim Harbaugh and Andrew Luck. They're going to bring in the coach and the quarterback from Stanford. What do you think?
It's possible. That would be a nice move to bring a couple of guys that are familiar with each other into an organization.
His eyes just got really sad, ladies and gentlemen, because he wants Harbaugh to go to Michigan. So.
Yeah, I'd love to see Harbaugh in Michigan.
Yeah, but Michigan can't pay the money that even Carolina could pay him. So I don't think they're going to get Harbaugh. They'll get somebody else, but I think they do pick Luck. Not Luck. Luck.
Luck.
Because they need a quarterback there in Carolina. So he seems to fit. He's a good player. I don't see any problems with his game. I know Jim Harbaugh there, being a former NFL quarterback, will have an NFL system going on, and he does there. So I don't see Luck having any problems with transitioning to the NFL. So looks like Carolina... If you're a Carolina fan, enjoy Andrew Luck, because it looks like you're going to get him now. The NFL coaches. Holy cow, it's going to be a coaching ground carousel this year. 4 coaches already fired. In Dallas, you've got Wade Phillips out. Denver, you've got Josh McDonald out. Minnesota, you had Brad Childress out. San Francisco, you got Mike Singletary, who was fired on the plane back to San Francisco this weekend.
Ouch.
Well, at least he was fired on the plane. At least he got the ride home. It could have been...
Yeah, so much for going to your room and crying yourself to sleep.
Yeah. Well, it could be like that baseball one. They wouldn't even let him on the plane.
Oh, God.
They fired him before he got on the plane, stranding him out.
Find another way home.
We don't want you anymore. Go away. At least they let him on the plane, then fired. And you also have on the hot seat Cincinnati. Got Marvin Lewis on the hot seat. Spagnuolo, even though they're 7-8, could still finish 8-8. He's on the hot seat there. Cleveland, Eric Mangini. Good run there in the middle. It is just falling apart. And of course, Carolina, John Fox. Out of the first three, we're not going to count Carolina and John Fox in there, because he's gone. He is out the door. You only get two wins there. He's gone nothing but downhill since the Super Bowl. He's out. Out of those three, Lewis, Spagnuolo, and Mangini in Cleveland, which one do you think is going to get the boot?
Lewis.
Lewis in Cincinnati?
Yeah. I don't know how they don't win 10 or 12 games this year.
With that
talent.
Or how
they didn't. Yeah, with the talent. I mean, I was excited to see the Bengals put up some big numbers this year with the T-Ocho show. But maybe that was a distraction in itself. Maybe that, you know, some of the blame falls on those two.
I would see that. And, I mean, you look at this weekend's past game, Cincinnati versus the Chargers. They played great. If they had played like that all year, we wouldn't be talking about Baltimore. We'd be talking about Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and Cincinnati all in there for a good run there.
Yeah.
For that division. And they just fell flat on their face. I don't know if it's because Marvin Lewis just doesn't know how to handle his team, or everybody's just overrated on that team. I personally think the only person talented on that team is the running back Benson and Ocho Cinco. Terrell Owens, he used to be talented. He's over the hill. Carson Palmer, I never liked him. USC, yeah, he was good, but since he's come to the pros, he's had these issues. He's had health problems. He seems to want to take series off. It's just, I don't know. I think everybody hyped him up a little too much. I would agree Lewis is out. The next person I would love to see out, being a Browns fan, is Mangini.
Yeah.
This man has mismanaged games all year. He can't seem to pick a quarterback. I don't know where the strategy is in that. You've got Colt McCoy, Seneca Wallace, and Jake Delhomme. Jake Delhomme, sitting on the third string, needs to stay there. You got Seneca Wallace, career backup, works. And you got Colt McCoy. I almost said Trent. Colt McCoy, who, yeah, he's a rookie, but he's playing good for a rookie. His first start was against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that big dominating defense that they had there, and he held his own.
Yeah, I would get Colt McCoy in as much as possible.
Well, they are now, but he took them out when he got injured. Okay, yeah, that's fine. He was injured, but he was healthy for a game when Delhomme started, and we lost that game. Jake Delhomme is done.
Didn't Delhomme play in the early 90s?
No, late 90s. He was in college in 98 or whatever.
I was thinking he played for the Chiefs in like 94 or 95.
No, that was somebody else. I can't think of his name. It's going to drive me nuts too. But no, he played for Carolina in that Super Bowl against New Orleans.
Yeah.
And ever since then, he's just been inconsistent. And then the last 2 years in Carolina, he just flat out sucked. He couldn't throw a long ball. He was making bad decisions left and right. The Browns signed him. I swear to God, Eric, I hit my head right here on this studio desk going, what the beep are they thinking?
Yeah, I was thinking of DeBerg.
DeBerg.
That's the Kansas City Chiefs quarterback.
So, Mangini, he needs to be out. Mike Holmgren, he doesn't like Eric. He gave him one season, you know, because he didn't want to be one and done when Holmgren took over, but Holmgren's going to take over this team and go downstairs. He's going to run the front office, he's going to get the players he wants, and he's going to coach them. And I kind of feel good about that.
Holmgren in Cleveland.
Oh, that big boy there in that big Browns jacket. Oh! I'm not talking about winning the Super Bowl yet. I just want some playoffs, something. So, yeah, Lewis is out. Mangini is probably out. Spagnuolo, I think if he wins this weekend, he saves his job.
Yeah.
So, Matt moved on. We'll move on to the picks here. Oh, mercy. Eric and I went 8-7 this week.
Tied.
We've got one game left. That is the tonight's game we're recording on Tuesday here. That's the Philly-Minnesota game. So we both picked Philly. So if Philly wins, we both finish 9-7. If they lose for some ungodly reason, which they better not, and their defense better hold it together and not give up my 18-point lead in my championship game, because I'm already celebrating. I'm the only one of players tonight, and I'm up 18 points. So unless Philly's defense goes poof and implodes, I'm safe.
I think we should do an over-under on total yards for Vic for the game. I think he's going to have like 500 combined yards in this game.
500 combined?
Combined.
I'll go under. I'm going to say 400. That's a lot of yards.
It is a lot of yards.
You put it maybe
all
a little.
You're high. Going 400?
I'll say, let's put it at 400, and I'll put it at.
I'll take the over on 400.
I'll take the 400.
Or do you want to go 450? You take the under, I'll take the over.
Yeah, let's do 450. I'll take the under because okay. I still like Minnesota's defensive line. So I think that maybe, you know,
yeah,
Allen
that could
on that side of the line is good. I'm going to say under. I'll say about 410 total.
Where is the game being played?
Philly.
Yeah.
So you're going over 450.
I'll take the over.
You won't be here next week, so I'll make sure to impede your glory if they do.
Well, if I'm right, I might end up being here next week.
Make sure
that I get on.
He'll make it back to Hawaii, and he'll tell us why. Okay, I'm going to Walmart get a mic because I've got to let him know. I've got to let the world know. That's what
so
I think about that.
Favre's not going to start.
Nope. Either way, I'm not going to say no because he waited till an hour until game time last week and went, oh, I'm here. I'm starting.
And he started.
Yeah. Webb is the scheduled starter. He has practiced with the first team all week. Brett Favre has had the concussion. We don't know if he's been cleared or not because Minnesota plays these little mind games like Mangini does. And for all we know, Favre could go out there, talk the doctor into clearing him. And
I'd feel insulted as an NFL fan if Favre starts.
This man needs to retire. He needs to go away. He's done nothing but hurt Minnesota this year. You got Jackson there in Minnesota who has never gotten a fair shake, and he's probably gone. Because Minnesota's going to get a draft pick, and they're probably going to pick up a quarterback because they just don't trust Javaris Jackson there. But he's never gotten a fair shake.
No, I think, Jackson's good. You're right. He hasn't gotten a fair shake.
But, well, that's the life of the NFL. And watch. They'll let him go. He'll go somewhere else. He'll start backing up. The starter will get injured. Javaris Jackson will come in and just start lighting people up. And then fans in Minnesota are going to go, what the heck were we thinking booing this man?
How'd we let him go?
Yeah, that's exactly what will happen. Who knows? He could end up in Detroit backing up Stafford next year. There you go.
That'd be sweet.
That way when Stafford gets another little boo-boo.
Yeah, oh, Jackson can come in.
I'll give you your few seconds of fame here with Detroit. Go ahead.
The Lions. Nice.
Ugh.
Another road win. Love it.
Three games in a row they've won.
And I got to watch most of that game, and Miami reminded me of how many times Detroit has lost with a lead, and then they end up finding a way to lose, which mm-hmm. is what Miami did, and Detroit was oh too happy to oblige.
And help them.
And help them find a way to lose.
Now, go ahead.
I was just going to say they're finally on the other end of that situation where they're the team to come back and beat the team that's in the lead. And Detroit has been that team before, the team with the lead, and they end up finding a way to lose. So, yeah, it was great for Lions fans to see that.
Now, my question to you, Jim Schwartz here, after this season's gone down the toilet and everything else, has found a way to coach these players up, and he's probably been using the fact that no one likes them, and they're underrated, blah, 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 and all this other stuff. So, you think he can coach like this starting out a season? Do you think he can get these players to react the same way starting a season so that these Lions fans, you, I'm somewhat a Lions fan. I mean, I watch them, but, you know, it's because I'm here in Michigan. Jim Schwartz, I think he's a great coach. I don't know if he knows how to coach without being the underdog.
Yeah, he's got awesome momentum right now, but the season's almost over, and there's so much time in between this season and next season, especially for the Lions, because they're not going to the playoffs. So they're, you know, whatever happens between now and then, if they can keep a tight camaraderie with the team and everybody, you know, keeps focused, or do they separate and take vacations in Hawaii and in Europe and everything, and then come back and go, you know, oh, we only won four or five games last year. What are they at now? Five?
They're at five. They're tied with my Browns at 5-10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if they come back and say, we only won five games last year, and have that attitude or approach towards the season, you know, obviously that's a losing way to think, and it's going to be hard for the coach to coach players thinking that way. But if they go in, you know, they come back saying, look at what we did. We stopped a horrible record. We had two road wins in a row when we broke that record. You know, you're right. The momentum, they've got good momentum. How can they keep it into next season is the thing. Yeah, how can he restart it?
Well, he's going to have to find a way there, because he is excited. The Lions, for the first part of the season, were finding ways to lose. They'd be in games and then just find a way to lose. Now, when they are in the lead, they find a way to win. When they're behind, they find a way to win. Like in that Miami game. I saw the tail end of it because I was doing stuff that day. Jeez, being married to a non-football fan is fun. Honey, let's go do this. Honey, let's go do this. I'm trying to watch the game. I do a sports show. I don't care. Rah.
Yeah, I can't say anything bad about my wife today because it's my 14-year anniversary. Love
you,
baby.
Happy anniversary, buddy. Yeah, you better be a good boy at this show. Or at least if you're going to be bad, wait until after. Let her listen to it after today. Yeah. Lions, I think, I think after this year they can go 8-8 if they can keep the momentum. I'm not saying make the playoffs do some damage, but I'm thinking they can do something.
Yeah, I think so too. Their defense was so much fun to watch in that Miami game.
Oh, their defense came up big. Whoa, man, that interception, who was 54. Oh, I should have written his name down.
Well, Vasher is the one that returned for a touchdown, I believe.
It was, yeah, he was just looking left and right. He was not going to stop until he got in that end zone. He was just, okay, well, I can't go here, I can't go there. Oh, look, wide open here.
Yeah, and he almost had a pick earlier in the fourth quarter as well.
Holy cow.
That he dropped.
Like I said, I only saw the tail end of it. And I saw Jim Schwartz, when they returned that interception, just go crazy. He was nuts. He got the players going. Like I said, he's a good coach. Young guy. He can get these players motivated. So
yeah, he's got to be telling them, this last game is our Super Bowl. Let's go out like Super Bowl champs and win this last game.
There you go. That's how they have to do it there in Detroit. All right, now that you've had your little Lions discussion.
Restore the roar.
Yeah, roar. That's kind of what it is right now. Roar. We're going to pick some games. We're not going to pick every single one, just because of the sheer fact that it takes so long. But I picked the most important ones, the ones with the most on the line for the playoffs. Got quite a few more teams in. Pittsburgh got in this weekend. Baltimore got in. New Orleans got in last night with that great game. We'll talk about that in a few minutes here when we go to pick their game. So the playoffs are getting slimmer. Green Bay took the fate out of the Giants by winning. Green Bay controls their own fate, and that's the first game we're going to pick. It's Chicago, 11-4, playing for the number 2 seed with Philadelphia at Green Bay, 9-6. Green Bay wins. They're in the playoffs. Eric, what do you think?
I like Green Bay.
Yeah, Green Berets. Green Berets. Well, we all love Green Berets, but I'm talking about the Packers.
The Packers. I like the Packers. Chicago, I squeaked out a win against the Jets this week. Mm-hmm. And the Packers have some momentum. Aaron Rodgers, I think, is a real sharp quarterback.
So you're picking Packers?
Packers.
I'm going to pick the Bears.
Okay.
Because, okay, he's like, okay, you're wrong, but okay. I'm picking the Bears. It's going to be a good game. Aaron Rodgers, lights out this past week against the Giants. Oh, man, did he make the men in blue look bad. He picked them apart left and right. Great yeah. quarterback. But at the same time, Jay Cutler didn't have a bad game against the Jets either. He kind of picked them apart. He didn't get to Reeves. He got to Reeves a few, but he didn't get to him a lot from what I saw. So I'm going to pick the Bears just because the Bears have to win to hold the number two seed, and I picked the Bears to have the number two seed, so I'm picking Bears. So, all right. First, well, man, we're starting right off the bat splitting it up here. St. Louis, 7-8. Oh, no, hold on. Let's do it this way. The battle of the worst division in football comes down to this. The 7-8 St. Louis Rams take on the lowly 6-9 Seattle Seahawks. Winner takes the division. Eric, who's your pick?
The Rams.
You're picking the Rams.
Taking the Rams.
Let's see.
Hang on a second. Let me flip that coin again. Oh, yep. The Rams.
The Rams. Pretty much this is how this division's been all year. Oh, let's flip a coin. God. St. Louis. Yes, I still think St. Louis is the best team in that division. They just need some more players to dominate it. Seattle. Oh, God. Did they ever look bad this weekend? Oh. And let's see, Whitehurst is coming in for Hassel back there in Seattle. Yeah, I'll give St. Louis the win, 8-8, because I don't think a 7-9 team needs to make the playoffs. Which is another funny story here. I was playing Madden, the new version of Madden. And the first year in, Seattle made the playoffs at 7-9.
Wow.
So if it happens, Madden is prophetic and picked this year's division winner. Wow. We're not even going to talk about that one anymore because, unfortunately, we did because it picks the division, but that is bad. Tennessee, 6-9 at Indy, 9-6. Indy wins, they win the division, they lose, and Jacksonville wins. Jacksonville wins the division. But they can still win. Tennessee can still win the division if Jacksonville loses. So, in that game, Eric, who do you have?
The Colts.
Colts, hands down?
Hands down, yeah. They came out strong against the Raiders.
Oh, yeah. They looked good. That was a good game. I caught part of that one.
It was a good game, and Manning kept his composure and, you know, was the leader he needed to be in that game and the leader
did
that he is.
Did you see that run he tore?
Yeah, that was great.
Oh, I didn't know a man can run like that.
Yeah. 2 weeks ago, not to get too far off topic, but 2 weeks ago, did you see the lineman return the kickoff?
Yes.
Yeah, that was...
We've had some weird running this year. The lineman returns a 70-something-yard punt for a touchdown. Manning rolls off a big run. What the world's going on with defenses and special teams this year?
They look like similar runs. Manning runs kind of like that offensive lineman. Although he wasn't carrying the ball like a loaf of bread like the lineman was.
Yeah, diagonal, up and down.
Yeah, hugging out like it was too big for him, like he was 6 or 8 years old.
Well, they never teach the linemen to carry the ball, so that one's on the coaches. Bad coaching there in New England, you know. Teach your linemen to carry a ball.
Maybe that's the new transition in the NFL. New England's going to lead the way with linemen running the ball and doing kick returns.
Well, if you could get a lineman who's fast enough and strong enough, it could work.
He almost made it to the end zone, too.
He made it in the end zone.
No, he didn't score a touchdown.
Lineman?
Yeah.
Yes.
No. Yeah. I don't think so. I think he got tackled at the 5.
Oh, was it at the 5?
Yeah.
I thought he returned it in.
Yeah, he didn't make it all the way.
Oh, he got really close.
It was like 70 yards, but he didn't make it in the end zone.
He got really, really close. It was a good return. And did you see Brady's face on the sideline? He was laughing so hard at it.
Yeah.
Oh, nice distraction there, Eric.
Yeah, sorry.
No problem.
That was Manning. Manning running.
Just for some reason, the image of Peyton Manning running reminded you of this big 350-pound lineman chugging it down the field.
Yeah, but the thing with Manning running, did you see him slide right before he got to the end zone when he could have easily leaned forward and scored a touchdown?
I would have just leaned over, started the slide to keep the coach happy, and then gone in the slide. Just stick the ball right over, break the plane like they say in the NFL. I'm sliding, coach, but look, ball's in.
It's in.
Oh, but no, there's probably some... Oh, wait, the rule is the ball's down at the start of the slide?
Well, yeah, I think as soon as he starts makes the slide motion, the play's over. It's dead.
What's wrong with you, Manning? Man up. Dive in there.
Yeah, because it was a good 2 seconds before anybody got to him. He could have definitely. But, maybe, you know, he's a great player. And
maybe he wanted to give it to a die or something.
Yeah.
Give it to the running back. I'm going to pick Indy, Tennessee. Just looked bad all year.
Did
Young's
they win
on
this
the
week?
IR. Huh?
Did Tennessee win this week? No, they lost to Kansas City big.
Oh, it's Kansas City.
They got crushed.
We'll talk about the Kansas City game here for a sec. Kansas City. Oh, my God, they look good.
God, they do. That quarterback looks fantastic.
It's going to be New England and Kansas City for the AFC title, I think, if they just keep playing like this. They're legit now. They're legit.
Yeah.
They've played great down here down the stretch. Castle. Oh, my gosh. Did he go? And Jamal Charles. Thank you, Jamar Charles, for another 20-plus points this week on my fantasy game. Woo! That man saved my bad performance by Peyton Hillis against Baltimore. Should have benched Hillis, but eh. He lit him up earlier. I was hoping for the same, but I was wrong. But they're good out there. They're really good in Kansas City. The offense is looking good. The defense is strong. They're a legit team. They can, I think, are the only team in the AFC right now who can hold their own against New England.
Yeah. They've quietly, what's their record, 12 and...
11.
11 wins.
11 and 4, if I'm not mistaken.
It's almost like they're not worried about what anybody else in the league is doing. They're just playing good ball.
Well, why would they have to worry? I mean, no one picked them to do anything this year because they were just terrible the last few years. And then the coach out there, man, I wish I would have looked up his name. The coach out there in Kansas City, just he's got these boys playing New England-style football in the Midwest.
Yeah.
So
they've got a good running game, too, don't they?
Yeah, Jamar Charles.
Yeah.
That man, he broke a few good runs off. He got 2 touchdowns. I mean, he's a beast. He's a running back beast, and they've got a good running game in there in Kansas City. And Castle, I can't say enough about Castle. If he does this again next year, I will seriously put him in there as becoming a good, great quarterback. Because for the longest time, the greatest quarterbacks were Manning and Brady. Then Breeze came in. Then Rodgers came in. Cutler's supposed to be in there, but he's so inconsistent. So we're starting to get some more good quarterbacks in there.
Ryan's great.
Ryan? Yeah, now he's come up and done good.
In the NFC, yeah.
They've had a good game. But yeah, just Kansas City. They could represent the AFC, I think, in the Super Bowl, and that would be an interesting show. All right, we're going to move along. Pittsburgh, 11-4 at my lowly 5-10 Browns. Pittsburgh wins, and they're in the division. Do you think Cleveland has enough in them to win this game and spoil the old rivalry there? Spoil it for Pittsburgh? Because if Pittsburgh wins, loses, and Baltimore wins, Baltimore gets the division.
I think Cleveland can get up for this game, do what the Lions are doing, saying this is the Super Bowl of our season against Pittsburgh, division rival. I think it could be close.
So you're picking who?
Pittsburgh.
That's what I thought.
That was a big build-up for Cleveland.
That was a big build-up for her, but I'm still going with Pittsburgh.
I took Cleveland last week, and they did me wrong, so now I got to go to Pittsburgh. Now watch Cleveland win. I'll stay with Pittsburgh, though.
You stick with Pittsburgh. Just the way this team looked last week against Baltimore. This defense seems to have been playing so great most of the year. It looks like Aaron Mangini has lost this team. And that's why I think he needs to be fired. I'm going to pick... Bleh. I can't even say it. Eric, say it for me. I can't.
Pittsburgh.
Thank you. I can't say the words. I can't. As a Browns fan, I cannot say the name, and I'm sorry, Mama and Papa Lang, who are listening in. I can't say your team. I can't, as a Browns fan. But
I'm rooting for the Browns, though.
I'm rooting for the
Browns. It's your Super Bowl, Browns. Come on.
Ugh. Toilet bowl Browns, more like it. So, yeah, I'll pick Pittsburgh there. It's just... Now, if they win, ooh, I'm going to look like a fool, but I just think Eric Mangini just lost this team. Colt McCoy, I love him. Great player. Patrick Hillis, great on offense. Did you see that pass, though, from Massacoy?
No.
Oh, they did this little weird little... They were in the Wildcat, and Seneca Wallace was in.
The Wildcat.
Oh, beautiful formats. Wallace gets it. He gives it to Hillis. Hillis gives it to Massacoy, and Massacoy founds Robiski down in the corner of the end zone.
Robiski.
He just throws a beautiful pass. I've never seen a wide receiver throw such a tight spiral.
Nice.
And it was just a bomb, and Robiski did his part. He got around behind the defenders, grabbed the ball, got his 2 feet down, and did it.
Touchdown. Beautiful
play. I was so happy when it happened, but then the rest of the game happened. So, and it just didn't work out. So, like I said, they're good on offense. They can be a little bit better on defense. They need some help. They need a new coach. One that can keep the team's interest, but I don't know. Dallas, 11-5, moving on at Philly, who will probably be 14-4 by the time this starts. So right now they're 13-4 going into the night's game. They'll be 14-4. So
14-4, 18 games?
Wait, I wrote that down wrong, didn't I?
Yes, I did. That's the new expansion.
Yeah, that's
the
new
expansion. That's what they're shooting for next year, aren't they?
Yeah.
A 18-game season or something?
They are 13-2. Right? No. Nope, I wrote that down wrong. Philly's still got a winning record. God, I wrote that down wrong. Fail. Anyways, Philly, they win. They lock up the second seed. They lose. Chicago, add that with a Chicago win. Chicago becomes the second seed. Dallas, no. Philly, all the way.
Philly all the way.
Yeah. Michael Vick against this Dallas defense.
There's the one we should do, the over-under for total yards for Vick.
Another one?
Yeah.
Including tonight's game?
Yeah, 2 weeks out. That's all right.
We'll put it on it's next weekend. This weekend coming up.
I'll take 500. You can go under 500 if you want.
Oh, man.
Total yards.
Against this Dallas. Man. The problem is I think he could do 500 against this Dallas defense.
Yeah.
Oh, fine. I'll take the under. You're forcing me into it, so I'll just let the record show. So if I am wrong, that's because I was kind of forced into it by the bald man over there. Of course, I can really talk. I'm still picking Philly.
Yeah, I'm taking Philly, too.
Michael Vick is just a beast there in Philly. Did you hear that the President Obama called him and the Eagles and congratulated them on signing Vick?
What?
Giving him a chance? Yes.
Oh, jeez.
He's done... Okay, granted, I voted for Obama. I'm not going to get into a political discussion, so don't even send me your emails or messages. He's done more in sports here the last couple weeks than he has done anything else. Granted, he's on vacation and all, but still.
Yeah.
That's what you get happens when you get a sports fan in the office, I tell you what.
How about calling some veterans and... thanking them personally. But you're right, we shouldn't get into a political
field. That's getting
thing
into
here.
A political field. I do not wish to get in there, buddy. It could get nasty quick. Sports, not so nasty. Let's see, Jacksonville 9-7 at Houston 5-11. Disappointing season there in Houston after going 8-8 and getting the first winning season there. And just disappointing there in Houston. That's probably another coach who's on the hot seat because Bill Cowher likes Houston. He wants to come to Houston. As he has Houston, the Giants, and Miami. But he doesn't want to force anybody out. I'm sorry. Bill Cowher, his name comes up. I'm firing my coach. Sorry. Just saying you wanted to go to that team just cost them their job, I think. I'm going to pick Jacksonville win plus an Indy loss gives Jacksonville the division. This Jacksonville team has had two shots at wrapping up this division.
Yeah, that's why I'm going to take Houston to win the game.
I picked Jacksonville to win the game, so we'll differ there. But it's going to be an ugly game in Houston.
Yeah, I agree.
David Garrard is not your answer in Jacksonville. You guys had a chance to get Tim Tebow and let him go on by. Now who's looking stupid? Because he's playing good in Denver. He looked good. Granted, he's still running. He needs to learn how to slide. You got a baseball team there in Denver. Get some of those players in there. Show them how the boy the slide. He's going to kill himself.
Yeah, that's what I like about Tebow, though. He's such a football player. He's got, like, that Favre-ish attitude where he wants to put his head down and
think about that for a second.
Well, yeah, that could be a bad thing in the long run. But, yeah, if it's coached out of him a certain amount where he can slide. I agree, sliding's the appropriate thing to do, but you got to respect a guy that wants to just play football, especially at the quarterback position.
Denver will hire John Gruden, because John Gruden loves Tim Tebow. They'll hire John Gruden, and Gruden will coach him up good. I'm calling it now. John Gruden goes to Denver. I know I'm going to
be great.
I know I'm going to be wrong, but still, just me being a smart aleck. All right. Yep, Jacksonville to win. You picked Houston. They'll finish 6-11 if they do. I don't see it happening. They've just had a disappointing season there. Tampa Bay, probably the greatest game of the week right now. Tampa Bay, 10-6 at New Orleans, 10-6. There's a lot of different scenarios running on this based on who wins, who loses based on this game. This game, New Orleans wins, Atlanta loses. New Orleans gets the number one seed in the NFC. Only problem is Atlanta's playing Carolina. More than likely, that one's going to go to Atlanta, but you never know. John Fox probably sitting there grinning ear to ear. It's like, okay, I'm going out, guns a-blazing. We'll see Carolina all of a sudden play like the Super Bowl team of the past. I'm picking New Orleans in this one because they just played so... That game last night. First, let's talk about the game last night.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Defenses galore there. Those boys, I didn't figure this game to be that low a scoring. Granted, it was, 17-14 final?
Yeah, with a defensive touchdown.
With a defensive touchdown on a pass that, Breeze was trying to do a little too much. I mean, he did
Favre-like pass.
Well, it wasn't a Favre-like pass per se. He just tried to pass it at an angle that wasn't going to work.
Yeah.
Well, he tried to throw it through the defender.
Flip.
Yeah.
Forward. Lateral.
That was after that beautiful play he made to Pierre Thomas there where he shoveled it behind his back. And if you watch the replay really close, I showed it on Monday night on ESPN there. Thomas's eyes got really big because he wasn't expecting that ball.
Right.
And if you slow it down, that ball was close to being a fumble.
Yeah, he almost didn't hold on to it. He had to pin it against his leg to bring it back up.
And that last scene there in the slow-mo, all of a sudden that ball was snapped right into position perfectly. Just that last little thing. But till then, love Drew Brees. Gamer.
Absolutely.
But
Ryan's a gamer, too.
Ryan's a gamer, too, and he did his best, although he didn't go the Tony Gonzalez enough. Now, granted, I didn't want him going the Tony Gonzalez last night because he was on my fantasy team, but Gonzalez, I think Matt Ryan was trying to put New Orleans away and should have gone to Gonzalez. There was a few times Gonzalez had a decent opening that Ryan could have gotten that ball into easily.
Yeah, I think they were trying to force it to White
just a bit. But, defenses were both playing good on both sides. It was just nuts that both quarterbacks were pressured all night. I think Atlanta, they were talking about, they've had to blitz 40-plus times. Every time I turned around, Breeze was out of the pocket. Breeze was in the pocket, but it was closing on him. I mean, those Falcons just threw everything they had at him. And Breeze just kept getting away. It was so funny. One of the middle line...
Cornerback. It was the cornerback, 28, I think.
The corner for Atlanta?
Had like three blitzes where he was not touched and Breeze got away from him. Yeah.
Fingertips. Or he'd have Breeze jersey and
grab him by the shoulder.
Just whip him off and take off. Man, it's just a great defensive game like that just makes you like, these two just hate each other. Just line them up, pop them in the mouth, and let's do this.
Yeah, they were breaking up fights almost the whole game.
Yeah. Holy cow, it was a great game. New Orleans, very props to them. Both teams tried to find a way to win, and when it needed, New Orleans defense stood up on their toes, popped Atlanta in the mouth and said, no, you're not winning this one.
Shut down their running game.
Exactly what they had on both sides. Pierre Thomas didn't get a good run and go in there. They were talking about it on the game, how the New Orleans just could not get the run going.
Right.
And which is what Atlanta wanted to do. If you get the run going in New Orleans, Drew Brees is going to knock you out. Because you're going to be watching the run. They're going to run. All of a sudden, Drew Brees is going to take a three-step drop, and he's going to find Henderson or whatever the other receiver's name. He's just going to find somebody open, and it's gone.
They had that kind of secret weapon, the tight end, that only played 1 year of college football. I forget his name.
Orleans.
He scored the winning touchdown. Brees threw him that slant, inside slant.
Yeah.
Kind of bodied out the defender.
That was a good play. That Brees on that drive looked good. That was after the pick, right?
Yeah, it was after
those two picks.
The other pick, the second pick, was just great athleticism on the defensive
part. On Adam's side, yeah.
Yeah, jumping up, swatting the ball, and then catching it. And then Brees had a good play by tackling. He almost got six on that.
He almost got six. If he'd gotten past Brees, he was gone. And Brees would have been just hanging his head. But Brees, ever the athlete, ever never given up, just wrapped his hands around that ankle and just, you could kind of see a little tug there.
Held on for dear life.
It's like, no, not again. But yeah, it wasn't his fault. He wasn't forcing anything. He went to go through the ball, and Adams just reached his big paw up there, kind of jumped to it, looked like.
Yeah.
And tipped it to himself. So that one I don't put on Brees. One bit. That one is just pure athleticism. You're right on Adams. Definitely. So, with that being said, New Orleans or Tampa Bay there, Eric?
I think I'm going to go with New Orleans. I think they're running hot. They're going to carry this win over Atlanta into the Tampa Bay game. I bet it's a real close game, though. Tampa Bay is going to fight.
I'm going to pick New Orleans, too. Probably because I'm a fan, but you're right. Just like you said, they're going to carry this in. Tampa Bay, they're going to finish 10-7. Not a bad record. 10-7.
They're 9-6 right now.
I wrote down again. Son of a gun.
They'd have to play an extra game.
Well, what it was is I was looking at the Yahoo's playoff simulator when I was writing all these games down, so I could try to figure out. Okay. Where could I get the good games? And there's my phone going in the background. Ha! If you can hear it, I'm sorry. This is an in-home studio. We do this from... I'm a moron, basically, in the sense of what I'm getting at here.
Don't beat yourself up.
I'm going to.
You are a Buckeye fan, so...
Oh!
Zing, zing!
Zing, zing! Get it in while you can now, because we're still going to win more games in here next year. Come on, we got three MAC teams. We've got Michigan State.
Uh-oh, I got them started. Now we're off the NFL back on the Buckeyes.
I'm just saying, just watch your mouth.
Oh, the Michigan State-Ohio State game's going to be good next year. Michigan, not so much, but...
that we'll probably end up in that thing 4-1, because we got Miami. We got a decent backup quarterback coming in, so I ain't worried. Anyways, moving along.
Back to the NFL.
I think New Orleans, yes. With that, that will effectively end the Green Bay win on your part. If that happens your way, the Giants are out. So a quick question. Is Tom Coughlin fired in New York? They've started out on fire. Last year they went 5-0 and ended up 8-8. This year they started out 3-1 and they're going to finish 9-7 if they don't win this week. Or something like that. Basically, the effect of them knocking him out of the playoffs. He's got to be out, right?
I don't know. It'd be hard to fire a guy like Coughlin. Is he to blame? I mean, what are the factors here? Yeah, they should be a Super Bowl contending team.
Last year was injuries. This year wasn't.
Yeah. So you can't blame last year on Coughlin then.
Mm-mm.
I wouldn't fire Coughlin. I think he's a great coach. Maybe maybe the assistant coaches, I don't know, maybe you chalk it up to bad luck. Maybe the Giants just had one of those simulated seasons where, you know, on Madden, or I remember back in the day playing Super Tecmo Bowl, you could fast forward through two or three seasons, and once in a while the real good teams would end up with a crappy record for some reason. Maybe it's just one of those type of deals, but I wouldn't fire Coughlin.
I wouldn't either. I mean, he is a great coach, don't get me wrong, but I think he's out in New York. He might be the next one, just because those fans in New York are nuts. And just, like, I have to be the opposite of you for some reason. I don't know.
Well, Michigan, Ohio, I can see where...
You see where we're going at, Browns, Lions. You see where this direction's headed. I honestly think that they just... I don't know. This team, the last 2 years, down the stretch, ever since that Super Bowl. That Super Bowl year, they started off bad and had a great run down the stretch, including the playoffs. I mean, they didn't lose a road game for the second half of the season plus the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just vice versa. It's just flopped the other way. Since then, they've started out great in the season and just have been terrible the second half. You're right. Is it Coughlin? We don't know. Some of the coaching has looked bad in that Green Bay game. That the coaching decisions, the plays run on offense and on defense against this Green Bay team, not taking anything away from Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, but there are a few plays that the reason that play turned out so good for Aaron Rodgers is just because Coughlin totally just didn't call it right.
Yeah, it seemed like he was calling from desperation. You know, it seemed like the Giants were really desperate to win that game.
Well, so were the Packers. The Packers had to win that game to get back into the playoffs.
Yeah, but the Packers had a certain confidence with it. The Giants went in with no confidence, you know.
Well, they figured they were going to beat Green Bay, probably, because they were already in the playoffs. They controlled their destiny, which you should never let down when you control your own destiny, and I kind of hope that doesn't happen to Green Bay this weekend. Well, I picked Chicago, so yeah, I do hope. But the Packers... they still get it if they lose and New York loses or something.
I think the whole Giants organization is doing what we're doing. They're all scratching their head going, you know, what do we do?
Is it time to move on?
How do we fix it? Is it broken? I mean, obviously it's broken, but where is it broken? You can't find the leak or exactly what the reason is.
He wants into New York, so.
The winds are whispering.
Bill Cowher. And the fans in New York are going, hey, yo, get us Bill Cowher. Get this Coughlin fool out of here. That's my best New Jersey accent, I guess. Well, that wraps up the NFL. We're running a little bit on time, so we're going to talk about one last thing. I was going to talk about the whole season. I want to mention this real quick. It's been so far. I still think it's a little... They did an article on Fox Sports where they said it's too long. Yeah, the season.
The bowl season.
Yeah, they've got to split up over 3.5 weeks with all these bowl games. Remember the good old days where during this week, right now we're in, there'd be 2, 3, 4 bowl games a day?
Yeah.
And then New Year's Day, it was just bowl game heaven?
Yep.
What happened?
Marketing. I think all these markets.
Money.
Yeah, money. As I'm watching the game, I'm imagining, like, I went to a small college, so now within the small college, like a Division II school, you still have a market of, you know, a couple hundred thousand people. So when you bring a game, a bowl game to that town, it generates money for, you know, the local business. They get some TV time. The fans get something to do. The stadium makes money. I think that's a huge part of it. They want to get these small towns and these smaller markets money.
Well, I understand that one fully. Don't get me wrong. My whole thing is, yes, you can still do that. Just put 2 or 3 bowl games on a day during this week. Everybody's at home. I want to watch some football.
Yeah.
I'm sitting at home after this. I want to watch some football after the show. There's none on until 8 o'clock tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, they should put them.
And it's going up against the NFL, so, I wonder who's going to win that one.
Who is the bowl game tonight?
Oh, you had to ask that. Hold on, let me pull it up here. My computers are shutting down and my phone...
Well, we know the NFL game is Minnesota... Philadelphia, and Philadelphia is going to get plenty of viewers just from Michael Vick.
Oh, correction. There is no bowl game tonight.
Oh, okay.
Tomorrow there's three. Oh, wow, they got three scheduled on one day. Oh, I'm having a heart attack.
They must have heard you.
Must have. And then, I mean, but it should be like this all week. You got all these bowl games. I mean, granted, I love watching football. I mean, don't get me wrong, okay? Yeah, I think it's a little oversaturated, but it's football.
Can't get enough of football.
Can't get enough football.
I'd rather watch Canadian football than Major League Baseball.
I wouldn't go that far. Would not go that far. I'm a baseball fan. Canadian football? Oh, jeez. I can't get started because I have a few Canucks who listen to this show, but I'll be good. I got on them last night during my regular show.
Come on, man. The Grey Cup? That was sweet this year.
What do I think of that? The Grey Cup. God. Come on, I understand you're from Michigan originally, but Canada? Football? Oh, let's add another 10 yards, and let's go, let's play earlier in the year, eh?
Don't they play with 12 players on each side?
Yeah, they play with, yeah, let's add an extra player, too, eh? Because we got to cover that 10 yards.
Two kickers.
Jeez, Canadian, what is wrong with you?
It must be my Canadian roots. I'm only like fourth generation United States.
Canadian football, give me your football badge. You're done. You're done with that stuff.
What about arena football? Arena football's pretty sweet.
Now that's fun. Because I've seen it person in live. That is fun, and it's always fun to hit a receiver right in the boards. Kind of like hockey. It's right in the boards. Bam!
We used to go to the Detroit games all the time.
Yeah, and then it went under. But it's coming back next year under new ownership, new league, all this other good stuff. So,
oh, that's good.
Oh, it's going to be fun. Off that little tirade. But my whole thing is they just 3.5 weeks is too long for college bowl seasons. You need to move it into 3 weeks. You need to go from the lesser bowls to the bigger bowls. They've got... my question is why in the world does the... what bowl is it now? Hold on. It's such a crap bowl that they have going on. They've got the... they've got the BBVA Compass Bowl. Pittsburgh and Kentucky. 7-5 Pittsburgh. Kentucky 6-6. Why does that get a pass over like an Ohio State, Arkansas? Why does it get played later in the year instead of that one? See, that's the point I'm making. They're just drawing it out to make all this money, and they're putting crap bowls on leading up to the championship series. Yeah. All right, I'm done. All right, with what time we have left, we're probably going to go over here, but Chris Osgood.
Yeah, I was hoping you'd get to that.
He's sitting here waiting. He's like, come on.
400 wins.
400 wins.
And an overtime win.
Yeah, he didn't choke this time in the overtime. And they had to come back in the game. Ozzie, top 10 goalie?
Well.
Now, he's in the top 10 based on this win, on wins, but I'm talking about, is he the top 10, one of the top 10 best goalies?
Of all time?
Of all time.
Well, we can start with the Red Wing organization and put him in top 5.
I'll put him in top 3.
Yeah. Yeah.
In Red Wings history, because they haven't had great goalies that they've come up through the organization. So I'll put in Red Wings organization top 3.
Yeah. Easily. Hasek being one.
Hasek, oh, come on. He came over from Buffalo.
He was great. The slinky.
Yeah, but he only played like 3 or 4 years with Detroit.
He won cups. At least one.
Cup.
Yeah.
That's like...
And then Vernon. Vernon's always been a...
Yeah. Cup. And he spent 2 years here.
I like that they're investing in Howard, though.
Yes, they need to invest in Howard. I'm talking about... Let me define what I'm looking for here. Red Wing goalies that came up in their organization... Like Osgood, like Howard.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of anybody offhand, but I know there's probably two before Osgood. Probably somebody back in during the Gordie Howe era. I know there's... Oh, what is his name?
Sawchuk? Or...
Oh, Yeah, somebody, yeah.
Yeah.
Think of his name, but in that generation, there was one or two great goalies there. So he's got to be third. He's in that in that precedence with the Detroit fans. He's definitely a top three amongst the fans. I mean, did you hear his name last night when they got that win?
Yeah.
Ozzie, that place went nuts for him.
Yeah, we love him in Detroit.
Oh yeah, we love Ozzie here. We also love Howard. He's doing having a great year too.
Yeah,
but. Question originally was top team goalie all time. You've got quite a few goalies.
Yeah, there's been a lot of great goalies.
Wow, Hasek makes that.
I'd like to think that Osgood's close to top 10, top 15 for sure.
He did make St. Louis good.
Yeah,
when he was there, I put him at 10. I'll put him at number 10 on the list just because. He is a good goaltender. He came in, he didn't have the style that would have worked. He adapted to the butterfly. Now he's down on his downturn, and everyone's going to be like, well, he isn't because he isn't playing as much. And he's been playing for 12 years now. 1990 he was drafted. I was just moving to Ohio when he got drafted, so that's how long ago it was. Yeah. I put him at top 10. At number 10. You put him any higher? Or are you not putting him in?
I'd probably put him somewhere around 15.
15?
I'd have to sit down and write it out. As far as in my heart, though, he's number one.
There you go, Ozzy.
At least for this season.
For this season. He gave Detroit more to root for and to brag about. And so we haven't really talked much hockey. We'll probably get into it more once the NFL's over. It's kind of hard to talk NHL when you've got all this football going on. So
yeah, hockey's really busy, too. You have to have information in front of you to stay up on it.
Well, I can do all that for you. Start watching Versus and stuff.
Yeah, but there's a lot of games, and it's constantly changing.
Oh, and so we don't look like a homers here. I will admit that Sid the Kid is having a very good run right now. 24 straight games with a point. He's leading in points overall. He's leading in goals. I think he's got the assists lead. I will admit right now, I didn't do it last week because we ran out of time. I will admit right now that Sid the Kid's probably the best player in the NHL this year.
Chirp, chirp.
That's all I'm saying.
It's hard to swallow, but yeah, I guess he is.
He didn't do anything to win that cup, but they all NBC is just like, oh, he won the cup. He didn't do anything that series.
No, he
Malkin.
Malkin. Oh. No, Malkin's not the goalie.
Well, I know the goalie is was the Saint Pierre or whatever the heck his name was.
Malkin was a bigger factor.
Yes. He won the cup for Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Max Crosby. So that's why it's kind of hard for me to say. Now, if Pittsburgh wins the cup this year, during the regular season, yes, I will say Kidd was the reason why. We'll have to see in the playoffs. He kind of shuts down when it comes to the playoffs for some reason.
Well, maybe teams focus on him more, and they disrupt his play a little bit more in the playoffs. Or
I just want them to face Detroit again. I want it to be Pittsburgh-Detroit again this year. Make it a rubber match. And then just Holmstrom. Crosby becomes a little too close, and Holmstrom, homie, just goes whack right in his jaw and knocks a couple teeth out.
That'd be nice.
Welcome to the NHL, you big baby. No, I don't like Sid the Kid a bit, do I? If I was to start an NHL team right now, I would pick Ovechkin over Kid still.
Yeah, Ovechkin's solid.
Just because he's a bigger playmaker. He doesn't whine. He can fight. He can pass. He can score.
Yeah, he's all-around good player.
So I'd pick Ovechkin. But yeah, I got him hit. Right now, Kit said the kid's on a big roll. So, all right, with that being said, we're running over. Eric, got anything to add before we take off?
No, I think I said it before, but happy anniversary, honey.
Gotta make sure she listens to this today.
Yeah, I will.
Well, not today. It's you guys' anniversary. Happy anniversary, buddy. Make sure to tell the wife I said the same.
Thank you very much.
He might join next week. Might.
Yeah, I'll try.
It's only a $10 cable at Walmart or Kmart or whatever they have there in the
Big
Island.
Yeah, I'm sure I can get over there, get it, and get it hooked up. I'll get a hold of you when we get back. I think we get in on a Thursday or Friday.
Next week?
Yeah.
All right. Well, if I haven't
the
heard...
The third, whatever the third is.
Third's Monday.
What? The third is?
Saturday's the first. Sunday's the second.
Okay, Monday's I guess we get it on Monday then.
So you'll have plenty,
that's plenty
of time.
Plenty of time, yeah.
You'll have plenty of time. We'll talk about that off air. Well, let's wrap it up, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for all tuning in. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. Hopefully we didn't offend anybody or talked enough about what you wanted to hear. If not, you've got to tell us. Have you gotten into comments on who wants to hear what or anything else? Anything you would like to add in general before we take off?
Oh, just the aloha.
The aloha? All right. For Eric, I am Wes. You guys have a great rest of your week. Have a great sports week. Go football. Go bowl games. We're getting inching closer and closer to the bowl championship series. The NFL playoffs are upon us. And we're getting to the good part of the show.
Good times.
All right. Catch you guys all later. Just a bit outside. Good night, everybody. Third and Outside is produced and edited by LM Productions. 2010 copyright, all rights reserved.